I dare you, just clap your hands for your Redeemer. I tell you what I want you to do. I hear you, Holy Ghost. I want all the adults to sit down. I want all the adults to sit down. I want all the children to stand up. I want all the children to stand up. Do it expeditiously. I don't want to ask you twice. Stand up, please. Yeah, stand up. Amen. Let me put it like this. All my children and young adults to stand up. Amen. Now I'm going to say, bless the Lord right now. And I want y'all to clap your hands. Amen. Bless the Lord right now. Clap your hands. Come on. I'm going to show you something. I want to show you. Clap your hands. Clap. Because he saved you. Clap your. Keep clap. This is the reason why I'm doing this. It seems like they didn't have a lot of energy. It seems like they didn't have a lot of enthusiasm. But could it be because of how they're trained? How they watch the adults in the building worship God, and when you say put your hands together for God, they just, because the training when it comes to praise and worship, to worshiping God, to praising God, has been minimal. We've taught them how to twerk. We've taught them how to roll blunts. We've taught them how to cuss. We've taught them how to be disrespectful. We've taught them how to really not love God. But a question I want to know today, is there anybody in the building that can say, but I'm training them to love Jesus? Babies, I want you to understand something. The reason why I'm not calling you out, but the reason why I'm calling on you, is the difference between calling you out and calling on you, is because I want you to get used to praising God in an instant. Yeah. Praising God without shame. Praising God when it don't make no, never mind who's sitting next to me, what they're doing. God has been so good to me, I'm going to praise God. Clap your hands, young people, and give God a praise. So get this. Next Sunday when we walk in here, sit down, babies. Y'all can sit down. Next Sunday when we walk in here, it is your kingdom mandate, adults, to get in here and lose your mind like you used to. You lose it at Swahili's. Lose your mind like you used to lose it at the Legion. Lose your, y'all acting like y'all ain't never been to, y'all better stop it in here. Amen. It is your kingdom responsibility to come in here and praise God like never before, so that it becomes contagious and it becomes exemplary to your children, that this is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall be glad and rejoice in it. We've got to teach our children when it's all bad, that this is a day that the Lord has made, and we shall be glad and we've got to teach our children when people let them down, that this is still a day that the Lord has made. We shall be glad and rejoice in it. Amen. Today I want to talk to you from the title, It All Has to Change. Many of you have been here long enough to know that I do everything intentionally. And so this morning, all week long, we've been dealing with so many different things concerning the Unity Worship Center. And let me tell you that I'm not disgruntled, I'm not dismayed, I'm not upset, I'm not worried, I'm not, but what I am is focused. And what I need you to understand is that this is not just a ministry, but this is a kingdom assignment. This church is a kingdom assignment, and kingdom assignments will always have to deal with demonic opposition. Many of you have been here long enough to see us get up to 100, 110 people, drop back down to 60, be on cloud 9 for a year, be just everything working well, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere at all, boom, everything just goes everything just goes haywire. Many sit back and they speculate. Many have much to say about why it is that it is the way that it is. But the reality, and many people say to me, Pastor, why haven't you taken one of those churches and got up out of here? And the answer to that is, this is my assignment. And this ministry is a kingdom assignment. And I don't want to pastor nothing that ain't got no relevance. You understand what I'm saying? I don't want to pastor nothing that Satan won't attack, because we understand that Satan only goes to war where there are spoils. So I always want to be connected to a ministry where the enemy is fighting us on every hand. But what I do desire to see in the fight, I desire to see the participants in the fight, the people that is waging war on the sides of me, with me, against the enemy, to be all the way in the game. This will be the only way we win. For a quick second, I want to show you these two pieces of paper. And I want to ask you to go back in your Holy Ghost-filled minds and just, if you remember, not too many moons ago, me having people come down and sign up for ministries so that we could help run the church better, so that we could actually operate at our optimum potential. How many of you remember that? It wasn't too long ago we did that. I come to tell you that me and my armor bearer one day, we got into a, Kim, you'll remember that, we got into a little, me and Kevin don't fight, we just have heated kingdom discussions. And it was the first time in his whole life that he ever shot back at me. His respect for his pastor, his man of God, is so critical that he has never come back at me because he respects what it is that I'm saying. But this time he said, I don't agree. He said, we've been doing this, at that time it was 5.5 years, and Pastor, it's still the same. And I said, I had the audacity to say, you need to fix your mentality. We need a positive mindset if this thing is going to be what it was supposed to be. But I had not stopped to think that I wasn't the one cleaning the building every Saturday by himself. I wasn't the one scrubbing the toilets and mopping the vestibule and vacuuming and picking up all the... every Saturday by myself. I was not the one, after so many had promised and committed to be of aid to him. Not too many moons ago, many of you raised your hands, and some of you didn't, and it was in deceit, because the reality is you remember, because I remember you being here, and I said, pray that we never have to do this again, and especially anytime soon. And just about a month and a half, maybe it was ago, maybe 2 months at the longest, here we stand, and I'm going, we need to do this over, because just about, we had a small handful keep their word. And so now we have children's church overworked. We have a nursery that is not open. We have a cleaning crew that basically does not exist. And when a 70 to 80 year old woman can show up every Saturday on a walker to clean, I just believe that everybody else can keep their commitment too. We're going to say some hard things today. Visitors, I pray you come back, but if not, at least you know they keep it real over here. It all has to change. Amen. As a child, one of my favorite television shows was a program by the name of Different Strokes. I think we had the flyer up a second ago of the program Different Strokes. And it was about two black kids from Harlem, Arnold Jackson and his older brother Willis, and they're welcomed into a family of a wealthy New York businessman by the name of Philip Drummond, when their mother, which was his housekeeper, passes away. The two become a part of the Drummond family, and they begin to learn various lessons about life. Because of Arnold and Willis's background of growing up in the ghetto since their birth, their mindsets have been ingrained within them. Whether right or wrong, and most always wrong, this is how they were taught, conditioned, and trained by various teachers in their lives. And I need you to understand, please understand that teachers aren't just the ones in the educational systems. The first set of teachers and most influential teachers to a person's life is their parents. But as life progresses, family will become teachers, and your neighborhood will become teachers, and I promise you, if you live long enough, there will be more. Though comedic for television purposes, the show, and I didn't understand it then, but I do understand it now, carried a certain spiritual tone to it that I didn't see as a child growing up. There is a death that is major, and as a consequence, there are potential orphans. But because of who someone knew, there is a shot at a potential relationship that could change lives forever. And the initiator of the adoption, well, he's determined to see his adopted succeed. But one of the biggest challenges that Mr. Drummond will face is their minds. Even though Willis is just 13 years old and Arnold is just 8 years old, their minds have been conditioned to think that their way is right, and because of all of the loss that they have been through young, and because of how they have had to struggle all their lives, and because of them being raised in a poverty society, society has already taught them that they are seen as less than, and what they have is all that they will ever have. And though you would think that they would be happy about coming out of foster care to living in a penthouse, and you would think that they would be ecstatic about never having to wonder where the next meal was coming from, they went from some nights going to bed hungry to having a maid who was also Mrs. Garrett. She was also the chef. You would think that they would have been excited about going from the worst schools in Harlem to being educated in one of the best schools in Manhattan that money could buy. I thought they would be happy just going from hand-me-down clothes to designer jeans and shoes, from having to catch the bus everywhere, from being chauffeured in a limousine when it was that they left the penthouse. And you would think that all of that would make them happy, would make them grateful, would make them want to stay focused. But the reality was, even though Arnold, and this is deep right here, even though Arnold, the younger brother, was excited about the possibilities, Willis wasn't. And because he wasn't, he often shifted Arnold's mindset to the negative. Let me say that again. Because Willis wasn't where he should have been, he often shifted Arnold's mindset to the negative. Lord, have mercy. And that negative mindset usually ended up with both boys getting into trouble of some sort. Now, I need you to understand, and I need you to catch this, and Willis wasn't just being rebellious. If you watch the show, you understand that Willis wasn't just being rebellious. Willis wasn't trying to be a problem. The issue was Willis had lived a little longer than Arnold. And the 5 years more that Willis had on Arnold, Willis had seen and been through a lot. Willis had been let down on levels. Arnold was too young to remember and understand. Willis had seen things that no child should have seen, and things had been taken from Willis that made him angry. Willis had trust issues. And one of the things that he was determined not to let happen was allow himself or his little brother Arnold to fall for Mr. Drummond's game and get used to living the good life, get used to the big breakfasts that offered everything you could imagine. He wasn't going to be swindled into shopping sprees in a bedroom that could have everything that a child and a teenager could want. No, he wasn't about to go for all of that, then get used to it, and then see Mr. Drummond decide to kick them out of his life. And just like that, be back in the foster system. Back in the foster system again. Willis had trust issues. Anybody know something about that? Willis had trust issues. So he didn't believe anything that Mr. Drummond was telling him. He could not believe that someone could care about someone so socially, I want you to catch this. He could not believe that someone in this prestigious position could care about him and his brother being so socially dysfunctional. Lord, have mercy. When I think about this show, I cannot help but to think about how we who died in our sins, who were dead in our sins, were so blessed to know someone who just knew Jesus. and watch this, just like Mr. Drummond and the boy's mom's relationship wasn't all that close. She knew him, and on the strength that she knew him, that was all it took to one day connect them with him. Oh, God. May I suggest that while some of us may have been blessed to have parents who were truly into God, there is a realm of us in the room today who had parents who claimed God, knew about God, went to church every now and again, but if we're being real about it, they really didn't know him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. But when you sit back and think about it, you can now admit, yes, mama, she might not have been in church like that, but she knew of him enough to get me in the house every so often. And on the strength of that, I might not speak in tongues, and I might not have a holy dance, but I remember hearing about this Jesus. I remember the old songs they used to sing about, he's on the main line, call him up and tell him what you want. And I remember Sunday school when we learned about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the king threw three men in a fiery furnace, but there was a fourth one in the fire, and they taught us that the fourth one looked like the Son of Man. I remember how he made the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the blind to see. I remember how he raised Lazarus from the grave. And I might not be able to give you all the particulars, and I might not be able to give you the chapters and the verses, but is there anybody in the building that can say, but I can remember when they told me if I confessed my sins, he would forgive me of each and every one of them. I remember different strokes reminds me of so many people in the church that I see today. Because of what they have learned, Lord, have mercy, before really getting to know God for themselves. Did you hear what I said? Because of what they have learned before really getting to know God themselves. See, you can learn something but not know nothing. Yeah. You can know something. You know, plenty of y'all think y'all know something about me, but you don't know me. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I want you to get this. I see people today that have preconceived notions of what church is, should be, or where church went wrong. And because they were raised in situations that claimed God but really didn't know God, they trusted the standard that was set by those who raised them and by those they grew up around. And as a consequence, many people in this building today grew up being taught that going to church was right, but you never really learned why. You knew it was important. You knew that you should go. But because you were not brought up in Scripture, many of us don't even align Scripture with the church. And so you hear people say things like, when you quote the Bible, they go, okay, well, I know, but. I know that it says that, but. You understand what I'm saying to you? And as a consequence today, we have a whole lot of Willises getting in the way of their Arnold's breakthrough. Lord, have mercy. Can I say that again? As a consequence, we have a whole lot of Willises getting in the way of their Arnold's breakthrough. Let me make that, let me make this real plain. We've got close to 50 children in this church. If all the parents would show up themselves and bring their kids. And it's crazy because just like Arnold, immediately, how he immediately loved Mr. Drummond, these kids love God. And even though Arnold was young, he was still wise enough to know that Mr. Drummond was good people. And when it comes to our babies here at Unity, there is not a need for a whole lot of reasoning. They understand simply that Jesus loved them enough to die for them, and that's all our kids need. Most of you in here will have to tell the truth that many a Sunday you wasn't coming, but your child got you in the building. Some of you haven't been here. You understand what I'm saying to you? And your child has been saying, when are we going back to church? Isn't it something when the babies have to say, when are we going back to church? Lord, have mercy. So I'm going to be real in here today, okay? And I love everybody, but we need to talk about it. We talk about the track at Keeneland. We talk about sports on Saturday, watching the game. We talk about the fight on Saturday night. But when it is that we're in the Unity Worship Center, we need to talk about the woes, some of the woes of the Unity Worship Center, so that the Unity Worship Center can be all that it's supposed to be, okay? So here's what has to happen. The truth has to be spoke, and you can't get mad. And if you do get mad at who you're supposed to get mad at. See, there was a time that my foolishness and folly held this church hostage, and I had nobody to get upset with but me. And so just like I claimed mine, handled mine, you know, did mine, then if the shoe fits, baby, you see. And it's okay. It's okay to find ourselves where we're not, where we in a place where we should not be. And it's okay to not be where we should, as long as we have a mindset that we're going to get there. See, ain't nobody never been perfect. Ain't nobody ever had it all together. That's not the problem. The problem is when you know you're not where you should be and you stay there anyway. That is a problem. Not just to the Unity Worship Center, but that is a problem to the kingdom.
Yeah, talk about it.
This is why they are killing each other down in the streets, because we won't stand up and own ours. Mm. See, because this, when you begin to own yours, see, owning yours humbles you. Oh, God. It humbles you. It makes you not talk so boastfully. It makes you not run your mouth so often, because when you begin to understand how jacked up you was, and if it wasn't just for this great God that loved you past yourself, there ain't no telling where you'd be. My God. It humbles you, you know. You just can't be cute when you know you're broken. You just can't feel so sadity when you know you a trip. Huh? There was a powerful pastor in the city, and he fell, and he came back like 2 months later, and he was just a beast mode, and he was just saying all of these different things and this, that, and the other. And a friend of mine that was sitting there with him, he said he never met him. He said he's not repented. And I said, how can you say that? He said, because for what I heard, He's talking too much. And he's talking too arrogantly. See, repentance chills you out. Repentance shows you you. And when anybody ever see the real you before? Not the you dress yourself up to be, not the you fooled everybody to believe that you are, but the real you, the you that sits in the mirror sometimes and goes, Just the other day, CJ, I woke up and I gave my wife this speech. I had, the sharing pack of M&Ms, the big one. And y'all all know that I was just saying last week that if I continue to eat sweets, that I'm in sin because I deal with diabetes, right? And so I just told all y'all that, right? And so I went and bought this, the $4.48. You know, that's the big bag of the, not the biggest, but you know, I was flirting with sin, and I was eating them, and all of a sudden that night, pains began to go through my body, you know, from the sugar. You dig? So I wake up. I'm waiting for Miriam to wake up, rather. And she comes down to, you know, she comes out of the cave because where she's had surgery, we've been sleeping in the cave, the man cave, and she comes out of the cave, and she's like, good morning. I said, let me tell you something. It's going to be fruit and vegetables around here from now on. It was as if she bought the M&Ms and gave them to me, right? And I said, and I'm getting ready to start walking, and ain't nothing gonna get in my way. And the problem is, until I sat down and said, you the one that bought them, then it made me have to turn around and go, hey babe, my bad. That was on me, and I was trying to deflect that off on you. See, but the reason why I still deal with the diabetes is because I've constantly done that. What's the point of that, Pastor? The reason why some of us are still where we are is because we keep making reasons and excuses. I know I'm broke, but it ain't got nothing to do with the shopping spree when my electric bill was due. I know it's because they ain't paying me enough. It's because electric is too high. Well, why are everybody else paying their electric? You see? See, we've had to get to this point where we sit back and say, this is me, and you can't get mad about where you are. And if you're going to get mad at who you're supposed to be mad at, then do something about it. Amen. All right, let me get back to this. Amen. So, because these babies have some Willises for parents, many of these babies will never be able to grow up properly trained from the nursery to the children's church to the youth group back to the sanctuary as an adult because before they are in high school, the Willis mentality will dull their love for God. So you say, well, how's it? You just said that the nursery isn't open because we got some Willises. How is that my fault when the nursery isn't open? The nursery isn't open because we've got some Willises. The children's church isn't operating at full potential. How is that our fault? Because we got some Willises. You see? Because you don't know, watch this, you don't trust, and because you don't trust, you rebel. And when you rebel, not only do you cause problems for the church, you cause problems for the Arnolds in your life. And I preach this thing like I need to. I know y'all already mad at me, but I'm used to you being mad at me, so it ain't nothing new. Amen. I want you to catch this. And please don't be deceived. The Arnolds are not just the children in the church. Lord have mercy. Yeah. Some of our Arnolds are the wives of some Willises. And every time Arnold wants to get a little deeper, Willis is there to mess things up. Mm-hmm. And please believe me, please, some of you women are Willises too. They thought, did you hear them there when they started laughing when I said the man was Willises, but then when you shoot that thing back around, say some of you women are Willises. See, he just need to hurry up and get done. got a man desiring to do the things of God, treat you right, raise your babies the right way, but because of your former conditioning, your Willis conditioning, you can't let him be the man, and it's destroying the relationship. I could preach on that all day, but today there are some things that I just need that need to be said, and there's some things that need to be understood. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. It ain't church without verses. And when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Underscore that part. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Watch this. Verse number 39. "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Now, right here, at this very part right here, in the New King James Version Bible, there is a title for the rest of this verse, this chapter, and it says, the title is "A Vital Church Grows." Okay? It says, "A Vital Church Grows." In other words, vital means an important church, something that is necessary, something that is needed grows. "And with many other words," verse number 40, "he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.'" Lord, have mercy. "Then those who gladly," underscore that word, gladly, "received his," see, because y'all don't always gladly receive what I say. And that's a big problem, part of the problem. And "those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." And watch this, here's our focal verse, you knew it. And "they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed," underscore that, "now all who believed were together." Notice that. The ones that believe are together and had all things in common. "And sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God for having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." He was adding to it daily. And many of you are probably saying, he is always reading these verses, and you would be correct. And the reason I continue to read these is because many theologians believe, and I agree, that verse number 42 is the model for the church. "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." And I think in the New Living Translation it says, "and they committed themselves to the apostles' teaching." They committed themselves to the apostles' teaching. Now, I started in verse number 37 because Peter had just given some people the business who had just accused them of being drunk when, in fact, prophecy had just been fulfilled. And even though the people were mocking them and being haters at first, Peter got done. By the time that Peter got done, the Bible says in verse number 37, and this is the part I want everybody to lock in on. Forget about the Willises and forget about, I want you to lock in on this part right here, because this is the part that's major. This is the part that if everyone will accept, something crazy will shift and happen, okay? In verse number 37, it says, "Now when all heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the disciples, of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?" See, here is the problem in the 21st century westernized church. Everybody wants to come to church to feel good. But empowerment doesn't always feel good. You have to be trained before you're empowered. You understand what I'm saying to you? In order to get better, you first got to admit you're sick. Then you got to go through the procedures of surgery and all of that. And surgery don't never feel good. So when Peter is calling these people out for where they are, the Bible says that they were cut to the heart. Now, there's a lot of cut hearts in here today. And my response to that is good. The Bible, it says it is a double-edged sword. And you understand what I'm saying to you? So first of all, to understand, you ain't bleeding alone. I bled first. I wrote it. I bled first. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so Peter has checked them. They knew everything he said was true. And instead of being sensitive, instead of being proud, instead of leaving and going and talking about the church behind their back, and instead of thinking they knew it all, they asked a very important question. Blew my mind. I've read this a million times. CJ, you've heard me read this thing 50 times since you've been here. Here's the question that blew my mind. It's a question that would change the lives of everybody and everybody that they were connected to. When Peter said these things that cut them to their heart, Shamika, they said, "What shall we do?" When is the last time someone has preached the gospel, conviction dropped, and the soul that was in sin, that was not where they were supposed to be in Jesus, said, "What should we do?" When are we going to ask at the next funeral of a baby that's not 19, who's had his brains splattered over the pavement, "What should we do?" When are we going to ask at the next fentanyl suicide funeral, when it continues to happen again and again and again and again, and they come into church and they mock Jesus and they mock religion and they mock Christianity, and nobody will say, "What shall we do?" We had them in here, over 300 people yesterday. And we had somebody say, "You ain't got to come to church to have a relationship with God." Kizzy, can I tell it? And Kizzy was there. Algeria texted me. She said, "Well, every time I tried to go to be a Christian without church, it didn't really work out for me." And I text back. I said, me neither. Who knew that it's going to be hard to be saved without the fellowship? And I love my brother, Pastor Taylor. He got up and said, and he addressed the question, he addressed the statement, and he said, "Now, I understand this new wave thing going on, but that ain't the truth. You need to be in the house." And it's and we need to stop with this lie, because there's this great lie that we run around saying stuff like this: "Well, at least you in somebody's church, the devil is a lie." Some of the worst things that you can do is walk into some folks' church. You thought you was messed up before you went in there. They asked this very important question. They asked the question that was so vitally important that once they received the answer and they done it. Did you hear that? Once they received the answer and they done it, it not just changed their lives forever, but everyone that they was connected to as well. The question was simple, but it was deep. What shall we do? Peep the address of it. Peep the beginning of it. Men and brethren. Now all of a sudden, the same people that you were mocking, you've come to realize that they have a wisdom. They have a relationship. They have a connection that's going to keep you out of hell. And now they go from being drunks to brethren. Why are you bringing that part up, Pastor? Because I need everybody in here to understand they didn't ask each other, "What should we do?" They asked the ones who knew what should be done. And I'm talking to the men and the women in here today. I want you to understand, there was an admittance in that question. Do you see the admittance? There was something that was admitted in that question. And what they were admitting was, "We don't know what to do. We don't know what to do." You understand what I'm saying to you? And here's where it gets deep. If we would drop our Willis mentality and trust the people who do know what to do, everything would change for the better. I want to say this, and I want you to hear me. Just because you have been doing life a certain way for years and it's been working out for you doesn't mean that it's acceptable to the kingdom. Do you know that there's going to be a whole lot of worldly successful people that's going to burn in hell? Yeah. Because church has taught, because you're doing well, you must be blessed. The devil is a lie. That's just a good job. All that takes is a good job. Huh? You know how many people go to church every Sunday? Some of the nastiest people you'll ever meet. They got the nice car. They got the 401. They got the kids in college. They got the mortgage. She's fine. He's nice looking. But he's the nastiest. She's the nastiest people that you'll ever meet. And you can't tell them they ain't blessed. I can't, because you just got a good job. That ain't got nothing to do with being blessed.
Amen.
There's a difference between credit and kingdom. And wouldn't it be the ultimate tragedy? I want everybody to hear this. I want you to hear this good. Wouldn't it be the ultimate tragedy that you work all your life to provide for your family, but your Willis mentality robs them of the only thing that ever mattered? Salvation. Wouldn't that be the tragedy? You kept them fed. You kept them fly, you kept them fresh, but your unwillingness to admit that you don't know what to do concerning kingdom affairs and your refusal to set under a man and his team, a man of God and his team, be the reason that mediocre walks causes those you love to burn in hell. And I know we all used to, and let me tell you something, nobody listens to as much K-Love as me and my wife, but K-Love got a Christianity that I do not agree with. Everything ain't all right. Everything ain't hunky-dory. Everything ain't key-key-key. There is a hell for those that do not keep the commandments of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know that ain't popular. I know that ain't profitable. I know you got five churches around this building right here that will preach you happy, preach you pretty, preach you, you know, the way you just feeling out fantastic. But I don't know about nobody else. But if I can figure out ways to stay out of hell, that makes me happy. If I can make sure that what I'm teaching my daughter, what I'm teaching my grandchildren, going to keep them from a burning hell, going to keep them from addiction, going to keep them from prostitution, going to keep them from, y'all ain't hearing me up in here. That makes me happy. Christianity is for the mature. Christianity is for the mature. I often find myself wondering, I'm almost done, I promise. I know this is rough. I often find myself wondering, why is it so hard for people who are not where they should be in God to listen to the people who are? To the people who have a sound prayer life, to the people who actually study the Bible. Why is that so hard for people? I want to say this to the men. I want to say this to the men. It doesn't make you any less of a man to sit under your pastor and learn to be better spiritually. And the reason it don't, I don't concede to what a lot of men say to me, is not because I don't think you're smart or because of some type of disrespect, but simply because it's not Bible. I don't do a lot of conversation that ain't Bible. My team will tell you, we laugh, we kick it, we joke, but when it comes to the men, we lacking in that word so heavy. I just want to kick the Bible.
Yeah.
Let's just get spiritually fit. You see what I'm saying? To where I know that you can actually have my back the way you desire to. So that I know that when you leave, we leave each other's presence, you're going and teaching your family the way it was meant to be taught. You see? See, but because we've changed church into a country club where we hang out and we compare things and we look at each other's suits and we, you know, even though we got a suit battle going on, but because we sat back and we have taken church and we've made it everything but church, folk get offended when we simply want a church. And if I act contrary to the Bible to appease you, then I really don't love you. And I fail you as a pastor and I fail your family. Women, you aren't losing control by listening to your pastor and the leadership we work with. It is actually bettering your life and strengthening you as a mom, a wife, a protector, and a provider. And until we begin to come to church for the purposes that the early believers came to church, we will just be having services. There will be no real change in the communities, and there will be no real change in our lives, not like this. We have missed it, and we keep forgetting Jesus. Did I say that again? The church has missed it, not just this church. The church in general, in the earth realm, has missed it, and we keep forgetting Jesus. And some of us may be thinking, well, if it's all about Jesus, then why the construction and why the upgrades? And the answer is, though no one ever wants to admit it, Satan has been successful getting us pastors away from the main thing, and the main thing was always to be Jesus. Amen. But now the church member has a consumer mentality. Meaning, if I don't like the way they do things over there at their church, if they don't sing the music that I want to hear over there, I'll just go shop somewhere else. Now, don't get it twisted. I'm not trying to woo people. But I do believe that we have a word here. I do believe people need to hear what I and the ministry team has to say. But they will never stay and listen with blown speakers and bloodstained chairs that were over 20 years old. We have to position ourselves to be heard. To be given a chance to be heard so the word can get folks saved and so that the saved can be further empowered. But I can't do that by myself, and we can't do that with just a handful of people. And you know why this teaching right here is rough and hard and considered to be dry and it really wasn't moving and all of that? It's because the church has been guilty for the last few years of entertaining instead of educating. Tell the truth. How many of you remember a time when you was on your way to church and you couldn't wait because the choir was going to be off the hook? Tell the truth. Huh? You knew the choir was going to be off the hook. How many, if you would tell the truth, the Lord is watching. How many of you couldn't wait to get to the point where the pastor got to the point where the organ went and he went and you didn't know nothing he said till he got to that part, and then you was at the edge of your seat talking about, preach, pastor. What are you talking about? You don't even know what he said. Huh? Go back on social media talking about he tore it up. What'd he say? Don't know, but he. And one of my favorite people on the planet, Noel Jones, he broke my heart when he said this. How many of y'all heard of Noel Jones? The preaching machine. And he said, y'all get excited about the wrong thing. He said, because that's me. He said, that's not the anointing. And some of y'all laughing, but y'all remember over at the old church, y'all used to throw chairs when we get to hooping and everybody lose their mind. Headed straight to the club. Headed to Sunday after the after lounge spot, right? But he preached, boy. Didn't learn nothing, didn't know nothing. But now we teach, and folk don't want to show up. Now we say things that'll save your soul. And people think I'm funny style. People say he thinks he's all that. But if you die and go to hell, I weep and I mourn. If you leave this earth and I know that you wasn't walking right, and you know, we've housed over 400 funerals now since the pandemic, housed over 400, probably 450 since the pandemic, and everybody's putting everybody in heaven. So guess what? Ain't nobody scared of hell. Ain't nobody worried about hell because all the preachers is putting everybody in heaven. But if you die, and I know in my heart that you wasn't right, I got to live with that for the rest of my life. It may not be my fault because all I can do is give it to you. You got to do something with it. But it does not negate the fact that I love you dearly and my heart is broken. So I don't get to come be popular pastor. I don't come to be the one that everybody go talk about after this is over with. I have a job to do. And that's to make sure that you and yours have every availability to get in. You'll thank me in glory.
Yes.
But you'll hate me in hell.
Come on now.
And I just won't play you like that. This city has enough pimps in the pulpit. We need pastors that stand on the wall and uphold the bloodstained banner. And if I don't see half of you next Sunday, guess what? I'm going to be preaching the word of God.
Amen.
Amen. I'm going to be preaching Christ crucified. Repent of your sins and live as he called us to be. And he said, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I've come to learn that my success as a pastor has nothing to do with how many people is in the building. My success as a pastor has nothing to do with how much money is in the bank. My success as a pastor has nothing to do with the size of my home or the year of my car. My success as a pastor strictly stands on if I obeyed the Lord, if I preached what I was supposed to preach, if you heard what you were supposed to hear. And at the end of the day, I'm looking to hear well done. And my prayer is that at the end of the day, you're looking to hear well done. You ain't gonna dance your way into heaven. You ain't gonna sing and shout your way into heaven. Can I take it deeper? You ain't gonna speak in tongues your way into heaven. To walk through that door, you will have to have a relationship. In closing, Jesus said, the coldest words that I ever heard him say. He said, in the last days, he said, they'll come to me and say, Lord, Lord, I healed in your name. We raised the dead from your name, in your name. We did many great signs and wonders in your name. And the Bible says, Jesus says in the Bible, he says, and I will say to them, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. There's another part that he says that blew my mind, Jackie. He said, with your lips, you worship me. But your heart is far from me. And we keep on patty caking this thing. And we keep on candy landing this thing. And Jesus just forgives. And Jesus just, and it's okay. He still loves you. And all that's true. But he didn't say, be ye holy, for I am holy for no reason. He said it because he wanted to see. He wanted to see the cross transform. He wanted to see the cross transform you. Not just change you, but transform you. If there's anybody in the building today, I'm making a plea with every, and we got a lot of people missing today, and I really wish, I'm praying, and we're going to go through the page, and we're going to everybody so that they catch it, and I'm making a plea to the Unity Worship Center. I'm talking to you, Unity Worship Center. I need you to understand that until you, verse number 42, until you commit yourselves to the teachings, until you just stop saying you're saved with your mouth, but until you get saved in your heart, until you get saved in your heart, to where everything about your thinking, it shifts and changes. You know how I know? I sit back and I listen to what people say. I read things people put. I watch people's Facebook pages and I go, why are you? What are you going through? What have you not been taught? What have you not read? How do you not understand? Unity Worship Center, it's time you get in the game. Not just in lip service. Stop making commitments that you just will not keep. Stop making us have to feel some type of way when I say things like this. It is time. that we do away with the Willis mentality. Let Arnold live. Live. Stop playing with this thing. He died the most horrible death ever to be experienced. And do you really think that this every now and then, in and out, is really acceptable before his sight? How many of you got kids in here? How many of you got kids? Let me see. What if that was your child? What if that was your child on Calvary? And the deal was that if they accepted you, if they understood what he'd done, and they accepted what he'd done, and they called him Lord, then they would be saved. But there was also an understanding that because you understood Calvary, because you understood what Jesus done for you, that God would feel some type of way. How would you feel if I knew what your child went through and I crapped on it? Yeah, he died. Don't you know every time that you know about God and you sin, that's what you say? Yeah, he died. The Bible says that we nail him back to the cross. Do you understand how serious this is? That you shouldn't really be concerned about what the praise team is singing. And you shouldn't really be concerned about Sister You-Know-Who and what she had on. And you shouldn't be worried about who smelled like weed when they came in the building. Do you understand what happened in Calvary? And that should do away with the Willis mentality. Come here. Stand up, CJ. We can't be it. Can't be it. Stand up, Kim. Kim. Can't be it. And I know many of you are working, and I know many of you live far away. But this right here, stand up, Reuben. This can't be it. A man would have his foot sawed off. Put your hand in there. This can't be it. This can't be it. And we can't help then go brag. Let me say that to everybody too. You can't help then go brag. Because that ain't help no more. They're dying. And they're going to keep dying. And if you notice, it was gunplay. Then it became drugs. Then it became suicide. Guess what? It's gonna be hot. Gunplay's on the way. Then they're gonna be suicide. I mean, then they're gonna be drug overdose again. Then it's gonna be from the depression of all that, suicide. And this cycle has been going on and going on and going on. And guess what we've been doing? Having church. We've been having church. And it's gotta stop. It's got to stop. And this can't be it. There's some people that show up financially. Stand up, Sonya. There's some people that show up financially. Get up. Ain't no way in the world you're supposed to be here in a month and have sowed more into this ministry than people who have been here for years have ever given to this church. Ain't no way. And it ain't no way that's going to work. You got to keep your word. You see them babies? They need teachers. You got to die. Jesus died. We have to die so they can live. Jesus died so we can live. We got to die so they can live. And if we don't die, they do. And the proof is all over the city. I'm sick and tired of playing church. I'm sick and tired of having these conversations. I'm sick and tired of 100 people one day and 40 people the next. I'm sick and tired of it. We are better than this, and we are called to do what these churches won't do. Isn't it crazy the allegiance that some of these ministries have? During COVID, they wouldn't even bury their own. And people gave their life to these churches. We over here burying people for free that have never seen, we've never seen a day in our lives. And I don't say that to be braggadocious. I say that to show you just how mixed up pimping done got. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, we come here today and we thank you. God, I thank you for the ones that have been faithful. God, I thank you for the ones who stand and go through it. God, I thank you for the people who have had to endure me and my worst of times. I thank you for the people that had to get spanked, and it wasn't even their fault, but they stuck around. God, we're praying for every soul that is connected to the Unity Worship Center. Lord, we're asking for a touch. God, help us to do away with the Willis mentality. God, help us stop getting in the, God, touch us to stop getting in the way of people giving their all to you. God, we ask forgiveness. I hear you, Holy Ghost. We ask forgiveness for every soul that has spoke ill of their pastor. We ask forgiveness for every soul that has spoke ill of their church. God, we ask forgiveness for every soul that has spoke ill on any other church and any church that's preaching Christ crucified. Lord, we seek forgiveness because you said in your word, touch not my and do my prophets no harm. God, allow the people to see the wolves in the sheep's clothing. let the people that's been trying to figure out why ain't I all the way in, figure out why they ain't all the way in. We thank you, God. We thank you for the baby that's about to be baptized. We thank you for the people that keep on keeping on. And we're praying for the ones that break down along the way. For we all break down along the way. God, we're believing that the ones that have just been sitting by idly and make a commitment but don't keep it, we're believing that day is going to be over. We're believing that everybody is getting ready to be committed to the teachings of the Unity Worship Center, which are the teachings of the Word of God. And that shift, that coming together, that unified presence that this church was called to be, will begin to do a work in the earth realm and shift our community and give our children hope again and give families excitement again and give us a belief that we can be better. And we thank you, God, because it's all for you and it's all because of you. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Somebody say amen, amen, and amen. Listen.